Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It is the first 909 podcast of 2023. How are you, Andrea?
How are you, Niall? I'm very well, thank you. I don't quite remember how to do a podcast, do you?
Yeah, we're a cup of tea in hand. I think I do. It's kind of refreshing to have some time off to not do.
I just smashed my cup.
Ruined the joint already.
I'm fine.
Since we last talked, my desk has changed a slight bit because I have... I bought a cup warmer. I would recommend.
That's an amazing idea. Well, yeah, considering every time we sit down to record, I place a little cup of tea beside the computer and I'm ready to go. And then without fail, I encounter maybe 15 to 20 minutes of technical difficulties. A little warmer to keep my tea warm while I'm dealing with those technical difficulties.
It's a little hot plate.
So I think I'll look into one of those.
On my desk.
Little
I would
hot
recommend
plate.
It. Yeah. That's what I've been doing for January anyway, just enjoying that. No, it's nice to be back. I've been professional listening for most of the month, as is my wont. And we have music to talk about later on from January because it's nice. We did our end of the year stuff and then we took a break and then Christmas happens and we took January off, which was nice. And we're going to come back with some loads of new music. I think there's a fair amount of new music that has come out in January, considering it can be a quiet time of year. But as I just said to Andrea there, we here for you. That's what this is all about. We are going to pick some tracks. But first, what I really want to know is, Andrea... like the most defining thing of your January,
well,
from my perspective, what was it? What happened? Did you go somewhere? Did you do something?
Right. Well, explain to the listeners that I didn't have tickets to see the 1975. Right. But being the extremely world famous music journalist that I am and being so connected in the industry that as I am, It's a little bit easier for me to get my hands on tickets than it would be for your average pleb.
She said it, not me.
I know. No, so like you usually, if I really, really want to see a show and it's super sold out, I can sort it out. I can send some emails around. I can figure it out. The 1975 at their very best, Three Arena, January 29th. No dice for me. So I had to get onto Niall and just basically bully you for the month of January.
You know, we talked about in early January, yeah, you asked, could we go see the 1975? And then I remembered like 2 weeks later that
I wanted us to go together.
A gig the same night. Yeah. And we were going to review it on the podcast. But sure, look, I couldn't go that night as it happened because I was at another gig, Byron Wallen in National Concert Hall. And yes. Because of that, you were, I wouldn't say you're desperately
having
trying,
panic attacks.
You were kind of desperately trying to get a ticket.
And it's, yeah. And it's because and I guess like there's a lot around this tour. It's been, you know, the Madison Square Garden show has been up on YouTube/Amazon for a little while now. So I'd seen that. I'd seen endless, like thousands and thousands of TikToks. And I just thought like this show looks so good. Like, and I've seen the 1975 twice before, and both of those shows were spectacular and outrageously good. And there's such a good live band. And I was like, but this show in particular looks really, really good. So I need to get tickets. Anyway, you came through, Sabrina came through, shouts to Sabrina, and I got my tickets and I brought along my friend Nadia, who, much like me, the first time I was brought along to a 1975 gig, I was like open to them, but a bit skeptical. And so I brought Nadia along, who was also open to them, but a bit skeptical. And now she's a superstar as well. So, yeah. So the show is split into two. The first half of the show is the new album Being Funny in a Foreign Language. And the second half of the show is the greatest hits. There is a kind of overarching narrative throughout the show, in which Matty Healy, the kind of main character of the show and of his own life and of many of our lives, he has like a sort of a breakdown or some kind of, you know, confrontation with isolation and loneliness at around the halfway point, which is where, you know, you might have seen a lot of headlines around Matty Healy shocks people by eating raw steak on stage, and Matty Healy simulates masturbation on stage. And it's just those headlines are really just really lazy and just not engaging with what's actually happening at all, you know.
So they're kind of, you know, this is part of, you know, taking a show or a stage show out of context, or just taking a clip of something. And like, well, you didn't see what happened around it. It's not like, so it's not just like, oh, this isn't, this is something that they've taught true in terms of the stage show and how it works, and rather than be like some off the cuff thing.
Absolutely. Like the idea that it's just like a crazy wacky pop star guy is doing crazy wacky things on stage is a really kind of disingenuous way of engaging with that. And it's very easy to just kind of have that as a headline or to have headlines that clip out of context a lot of the stuff that has kind of gone on this tour. And I'll come to more of that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, to explain that moment for anybody who wasn't there, because I think if you were there, you'd fully understand what was happening. But it was a kind of a meditation or commentary on masculinity and the impact that influencers like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate have on young men, or, you know, men in general, but especially young men. That's where you get the raw steak idea from, you know, this Jordan Peterson only eating raw meat for a while, and his daughter kind of living that life as well. And there's and then you see kind of clips from people who are at the show just going up on Twitter, like, here's 30 seconds of Matty Healy doing push-ups, but it's like he's doing push-ups in front of a video of Andrew Tate, like while the rest of the band have you know, thematically gone home and left the stage, and while he's there on his own. And then he climbs into a TV that is just playing like Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak. And it's really quite obvious what he's doing. If you take 2 seconds to engage with it. And I don't think for a minute that anybody who, you know, that could be as misunderstood accidentally as it has been by a lot of the kind of, you know, raggy journalists. but it has been. Some other things that were misunderstood was there was a clip of him which all the headlines just said like the 1975 cut off Matty Healy before he goes on a racist rant, and it's like, holy God, if you just even just watch that video, you will know that that was a joke and was a written bit that worked well.
He's the 1975 are content farm material now, you know, like that's essentially it.
And it's really sad because it's like if you take 5 minutes to engage with their music, you'll know that this is all a kind of a post-ironic meditation on cancel culture and masculinity and what it is to be kind of simultaneously lionized and held up by the left as like a savior. And it's I felt really sorry for him throughout this tour, actually. Just the kind of the willful misunderstanding of what it is that they're trying to do with this vision of this show, because the show is just spectacular. You know, they're just one of the best, or if not the best, like live pop act in the world right now. And they are, you know, socially engaged, politically conscious. They care about what it is that they're doing and saying and the impact that it has. And there was a really sad moment. There was an incident where Matty, the night before the Dublin show, at another show in the UK, I can't remember which show it was, was kind of seen to do a Nazi salute while singing a line about Kanye West, which is very clearly calling Kanye West a Nazi. And that clip was shared. The clip wasn't shared. Pictures of him doing it were shared without the context. And look, I'm not here to defend him doing it. I'm not here to say that it was 100% correct. I am not Jewish. Absolutely fine. But it's the lack of context around these things that I find really, really annoying. And then at the Dublin show, there was a moment after Love It If We Made It when he just had what seemed to be this really human moment where he just told us the Sun are going to run a story about me tomorrow calling me a Nazi. And it was just really, it was a really human, sad moment. It just sucks. And then he kind of, on the last night of the tour in Belfast, addressed it kind of further in a much more animated and furious way, and he was addressing in that the fact that no one is actually just coming out and calling him what it is that they're implying. It's all these implications and all these kind of like, you know, really disingenuous use of the tools of cancel culture in order to cancel somebody because they're, you know, provocative or whatever it might be, or just to sell papers, like fuck the Sun, all like forever fuck the Sun in the past, present and future. They've always been a rag, but it was just really shitty thing to do. Anyway, that's that. But yeah, there was just something around this tour. I just find it, I'm really, really happy I was there for the Dublin show, to get a sense of what the show was like when you're actually there. But I find the tour, the engagement with it from young people on TikTok versus the kind of mainstream engagement with it from even like the Irish Times review of it was, you know, that the headline and the story was behind a paywall, importantly. But the headline was what he said about Irish people being like a simple people, and you can't get into the article to actually see what the context was around that, which is he was like correctly dragging us for singing Olé Olé, which is the most embarrassing thing that we do. And he was 100% absolutely correct in doing that. And it was, and everybody there laughed. Everyone thought it was funny. Everyone took it how it was meant. But you go online the next day and it's like Matty Healy calls Irish people simple. And you're like, come on, guys, it's so obvious at this stage that you're just trying to create outrage around someone who is trying and is actually engaging with stuff, which is more than can be said about other pop stars? What other pop stars are engaging, you know, in their live shows with the Kanye West issue, with the Andrew Tate, you know, like there's no one else talking about this. Harry Styles isn't talking about it. Taylor Swift isn't talking about it. Fucking no one else is going near it. And so you have someone here who is, you know, albeit messily, albeit in the moment, you know, reacting to some of the most significant and worrying parts of our culture. And the kind of the mainstream reaction to that is to cancel that person for not doing it in a way that is, you know, sanitized enough. So it's really, really bothered me the past week. And I've just had to kind of like not look online about it, because it's the kind of, it's that, like I said, the willful misunderstanding of intent, and just the lack of like cultural criticism or critical thought around these things really, really bothers me. And this is why we need more funding for arts criticism and less funding and less money going into like tabloid criticism. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, it's bigger than the 1975, Niall. It's the whole damn system.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. It's interesting to note the difference, like you're saying, like mainstream media doing what it always kind of does. And then, you know, people engaging in a different way. And I think I hate that kind of, you know, it's not journalism at all, because it's like, okay, what are people saying about something? And they, you look at a few comments on it, on a tweet or on a TikTok video, and then you use that as content on your newspaper website. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? Here's what everyone is saying about viewers. I'll say the same thing about
that's not news.
You know,
that's not news.
Like,
it's like
that's just what people are saying online. You know,
yeah. And online isn't real life. That's like it is such an incredibly small amount of people are online and engaging in culture war issues online. Like it is that is not an appropriate way to think to kind of guide your media companies' content. Like nothing bothers me more than so and so sparks outrage as such and such, and it's like, what is this doing? Why don't you actually employ somebody who can give a bit of context around this and discuss it and discuss art as art and not discuss, you know, should we cancel this person this week? Are we canceling this person? It's just, oh God, it's such a nightmare. And it's obviously bigger than the 1975. But I think that this tour has been a really interesting kind of case study in how people who are kind of held up by many on the left as being some kind of representative of the left, like that's just, that like you have such a time limit on that, and if you do anything at all, even if it's a joke like the Irish thing, or even if it's a kind of a misplaced bad idea of a gesture in order to kind of call attention to somebody else's anti-Semitism, it's like, well then no, you are a racist or you are an anti-Semite. Or I promise myself I wouldn't get into the anti-Semitism fascism stuff, but I mean, like it is so concerning that we have to kind of do the amount of like critical thought for these publications as they're supposed to be doing.
And that's it. It's the wider issue, isn't it? I mean, it's something that should be taught in schools, properly, critical thinking, like recognizing what's fact
media
and what's
literacy.
Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when, you know, we've, you know, looking at things like GTP and all that, and you're seeing, you know, knowing what's real and what's not, and knowing what the context is for something and what isn't. And I think it's becoming more and more important as the internet marches on and the society marches on in those ways, like understanding that something is taken out of context in a social media clip, or that, like, I think that's a perfect example of the one you were saying, who's like the band Stop Him from going on a racist rant. You're like, Yeah, it's a bit in a show.
That's a bit.
It's a bit in a live show.
Yeah,
and look, people
have the right to say that bit that you know, racist rants are not, that shouldn't be the subject of a joke, and that there's nothing funny about that. People absolutely have the right to criticize that, but to willfully misrepresent what actually happened and put up headlines, and you'll see it if you Google Matty Healy racist, you will see headline after headline after headline of just a complete like mistruth, just an absolute mistruth. And I'm not sitting here like defending this man because I'm a fan of his music or anything. I'm defending, like, I don't know, like, I'm not defending anything. I'm actually like trying to like break down what it is that's actually happened here. Like, this is so concerning, and especially because, yeah, because this is the tour for them, but it's also going to be the tour for Taylor Swift and for Harry Styles, where absolutely every single moment of it is filmed. And it's not in a controlled way. It's not in a way where you're like, oh, we're going to film our night at the O2 or at Madison Square Garden so that people can see it. It's like, no, it's up to the minute on TikTok. So you anybody from with any kind of intention can just go online, pick out a clip, shorten it to whatever will fit their narrative in order to create outrage, and then just publish that online without any repercussions. If I was Matty Healy, I would be suing the Sun, I would be suing the Mirror. There is so many publications that I would be suing as soon as I finish this tour, because it's just this like this unbelievable amount of mistruth, and it's really, really, really concerning. And I've just found it so interesting and enraging, and such a strangely engaging tour. Because as much as I want to see the 1975, because I love the 1975 as a band, it's like all of this around it has just been fascinating and at times like utterly heartbreaking, like when he had that moment on stage. And yeah, it's been wild is the word. And I hope he's okay. Because he didn't seem okay at Belfast from the videos I've seen. He didn't seem all right at all. But
well, that's interesting. Yeah, I thought I was going to get a 10-minute gush, 15-minute gush from you as opposed to a rant. But I appreciate that.
I'll gush for just a couple of minutes here or a few seconds here, and just say that I think that the band and Matty, that they have created such an interesting and engaging and thought-provoking show. It's an excellent album. Their back catalogue is absolutely undeniable. The fans that were there were so engaged with them, and he was engaged with the fans as well. There was a little kid who was 11, a little boy on his dad's shoulders. Matty had like a full-on conversation with him throughout in the crowd. It was an absolutely electric night, and everyone that was there kind of felt like they were witnessing something. And those are the best kinds of gigs. And I just think that also as a front man, like, he is absolutely undeniable. I don't care if he gives you the ick. I don't care if you don't like his music, whatever. Like, I'm not a massive fan of, I don't know, a lot of bands who I would say that's a front man. And I think Matty Healy is a front man, and he is unbelievable at it. And like, it's the job he was born to do. And they're just such an unbelievable band. And I've heard tell that they're going to tour the UK again later this year, which is mad to me, because they've been nonstop touring for months, like night after night after night, with Just a Break for Christmas. And I think, actually, don't do that, guys. just don't do it. Just go home, spend some time with your family, you know, rest, recuperate,
yeah,
log off, just, yeah, have some time to yourselves. But I mean, if they do tour in the UK, I will absolutely go over and try and see them in London.
Would you go again?
I would absolutely go again. I'd love to see them in, like, because obviously, like, in the O2 in London was like a major night because they brought out Taylor Swift. So I'd like to, and like, for loads of nights, Matty was like, we were trying to get Harry Styles and he keeps saying no, but I feel like it might happen at some stage.
Didn't have any guests in Dublin then, no?
No guests in Dublin, no. I was fully ready for either Niall Horan or Ed Sheeran. If it was Ed Sheeran, I would have popped out and went to the loo, if it was Niall Horan, I would have been happy. But like fully ready for there to be an Irish guest, but maybe given the day that was in it, it probably wasn't ideal. But yeah, amazing show. Would absolutely recommend everybody to see them live at least once, even if you're just a kind of a cursory, like peripheral fan. They are a stunning live act.
Okay. Yeah. That's our 1975 bit done. Don't take that out of context. And if you have any issues with anything we say in context or out, supporters of our Patreon get access to the Discord server, where there's a lot of chat and discussion about music and gigs and whatnot and films. I'm going to see Tar tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing Tar.
Oh, very good.
So I can talk about it and all sorts of things. So yeah, patreon.com/another9 for support. And there's also Spotify playlists and all the usual discounts and little bits. And you're supporting what we do here and the website and all of the various many costs that it takes to do that. That's just patreon.com/another9. It is time now because we're here for you. We are here for you to share some new music. It is time for us to talk about a few tracks and albums that we like. I'm going to kick things off, Andrea, because I've got one extra this month. It was a fairly decent month, January, for new music this month. And to kick the year off, it was pretty nice. I think for me, this album that I picked is a perfect companion to the kind of slow, methodical quiet of the first month of the year. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't happening. You're spending a lot of time at home. It's a long month, but also it's a time to reflect and chill and maybe not do too much and hang out with your pals and maybe not go to as many gigs as you normally would because there isn't as much on, but there's still plenty on this month. But anyway, that's my way of saying an album I listened to a lot this month was Rosie Plains' Prize. So here is a little bit of a track from Rosie Plain, and I'll come back and talk about it. It's nothing we'll do. But what should we call it? That is a track called Agreeing For You, which opens up Prize from Rosie Plain, an album that came out on Memphis Industries the second week in January, I believe. A lovely album, one that I think I went back to a fair amount this month, a fine collection of a very airy, lovely arranged, artful arrangements, lovely kind of folky music. You may know Rosie Plain from... she mostly played with This Is The Kit, but also, you know, has played in Ireland an awful lot. And I think you can tell based on the fact that she has five tour dates coming up in March in Ireland. Dublin Workman's Club, March 1st. She's doing Bangor, the Courthouse on March 2nd. Phil Grimes, Waterford, March 3rd. Ballydehob, March 4th. And Clears in Kilkenny. In March 5th. So yeah, just a lovely album. Have you listened to Rosie Plain at all? I would recommend it if you're looking for something a bit chill and very, yeah, it was very suitable for the month that was in it.
Yeah, no, I haven't listened to Rosie Plain, but I will. I definitely lovely. Will. Lovely. Okay, well, I give you my choice.
Yes, please.
Which is, I assume, also one of your choices.
I'm glad you talked about it. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Lancome have announced a new album called False Lancome, and I've shared the first track from that album called Go Dig My Grave. Here's all 9 minutes of it.
No.
JK, here's a little snippet. For to give her hope, I found her hung in Boy Harrow. Oh, Lordy, Lord, oh, Lord.
There's obviously a lot more going on there over 8 minutes and 38 seconds than what we share there. But it is a stunning piece of work, isn't it?
Absolutely. And if you haven't heard the full track yet, I would recommend having your first listen accompanied by the music video, which is on YouTube or on Nylar9.com. Can people see it there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All of the information there. Album called False Lancome. Yeah, out March 24th. And there's some gigs announced as well yesterday. Mandela Hall, Belfast, May 19th. Cork Opera House, May 20th. Vicar Street, Dublin on May 30th and 31st. And they're also playing All Together now as well. But tickets are on sale Friday, 3rd of February. So end of this week from 11 a.m.
I would definitely log on a few minutes before 11 because I imagine they'll sell out. This is an absolutely beautiful and haunting meditation on grief. It's an old folk song that is about grief. And as usual with Lancome, when they do kind of reinterpret these songs, they keep enough of the tradition in there for it to still feel and be authentic, while also a kind of, you know, putting their own I hate the phrase putting their own stamp on it, but I can't think of another one, like interpreting it in their own way. And I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, if it was online or in the Discord, but somebody kind of said that they keep enough of the tradition while also kind of moving the tradition forward, and that's what makes Lancome so good. It might have been in a YouTube comment actually, and I really agree with that. I think that that's what kind of separates Lancome from a lot of the other kind of folk and trad revivalists, which I also enjoy and like, but I think Lancome are just in another class entirely. And this was like this was a song that as soon as I finished it, I felt like, oh, this will be unbelievable to hear in a room, you know, live. And
they have a good few songs like that too, don't they?
They do, you know, like it's like their version of The Wild Rover is just one of the
10
most
minutes, like, incredible.
Yeah, it's just one of the most like transformative and transporting experiences you can have, is to like be in a room.
It's a song which has a drop.
It's like a
drone song that has a big drop in it. You're like, whoa, here we go. What it actually takes off.
Yeah, it is. And the kind of there is some of that like drone elements happening in this song as well. And some of it is done with vocals, and you know, it's it sounds strange to say because it is such a kind of a slow moving piece, but there's moments in it that are really quite dizzying and just so engaging. And you're kind of like, oh, well, where's this piece coming from? Where's this bit of music coming from? Is that somebody's voice, or is that, you know, an accordion, or what's going on here? So yeah, it's a really magnificent song, and I can't wait to, I can't wait to hear the album. I'm so, so excited for the album.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Mm. And yeah, they're such a good band. And you definitely hear, I mean, sometimes if you looked at a picture of Lancome, you think they might be a metal band. This is most metal they've sounded, that kind of like doom metal kind of buzz going on here, which I think they are well able to do as well. So yeah, I love that. Mm. The PR as well does say that, you know, exactly that idea that, you know, there's 10 out of 12 songs on this album are trad, traditional songs, and two originals. We haven't heard the originals yet, but I'm interested to see how they manage that and what they do with them. And I think they are always bringing new shapes to old shapes as well. So they're such a good band, such a good band.
They
and
are.
if you're not a Primavera, I think that's the same weekend as Primavera or so. Anyway, go see Lancome whenever you can.
I imagine seeing Lancome at Primavera in the sunshine would be quite a strange experience. To me, it's like you have to have just come in from the freezing bitter cold, and you're in your big Aran jumper, and you sit down with a hot whiskey, and you have Lancome happen to you. But yeah, I'm sure they'll be marvelous.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I saw them was January 2020, maybe. So it was perfect
the vibe
for that.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm going to pick a album again, and a surprising one for me, because it's an album it was released last Friday.
Yeah.
And I had never listened to Little Yachty before. Have you ever listened to Little Yachty?
No, I haven't, but I listened to this album on your recommendation. So yeah, I'll be able to share some thoughts with you.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, if you know anything about Lil Yachty, he is a, well, he was a trap pop kind of rapper who I didn't pay attention to. And, you know, I know it's just never been anywhere near me. And then I heard stuff about this album and I was like, what's going on? So it's called Let's Start Here. It's kind of, I mean, look, it's a psych rock album. Absolutely. Mm. It's inspired by his love of Pink Floyd. It's a psychedelic pop rock album and it has some R&B kind of stuff there as well. There's some auto-tune. There's not a lot of rap on it. It's got a really interesting credit list as well. It kind of sounds like psych rock, Tame Impala kind of psychedelia with R&B and really interesting vocals as well. There's some great vocalists on this. Fushi, Justine Sky, and Diana Gordon in particular. The last one, Diana Gordon, has stood out to me. But there's a credit list that includes like Mac DeMarco, Alex G, Magdalena Bay, the producer of Jam City, Patrick Wimberly of Chairlift, the bassist from Unknown Mortal Orchestra, Jacob Portrait, and the guy from MGMT as well, Ben Goldwasser. So there's just loads of people came together and somehow he's managed to make a really good album of psychedelic rock music that I did not expect. Here's an example of a track, that's track 3 from the album. Let's Start Here. It's a Lil Yachty and it is Running Out of Time. So that's Lil Yachty, Running Out of Time from Let's Start Here. It's been really intriguing to listen to it because, you know, having no real reference for other than knowing he was kind of trap kind of music or like kind of off kilter, like weird rap music. And then he comes out with this and I can hear a little bit of like some of later Mac Miller stuff here as well, which I know you were listening to a lot this past couple of weeks as well. But
Circles came out in January, every year since then. I listened to that Mac Miller album and it's perfect.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying this album at the moment because it's one of those ones that I don't think it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it is very engaging. There's some lovely collaborators on it, like I said, particularly Diana Gordon, who I think it's a song, they're not listed on the tracks exactly, but Drive Me Crazy, I believe, sings on that song. Really, really lovely. There's some great stuff on this album. So yeah, Let's Start Here by Lil Yachty. Try it. See what you think.
I really enjoyed it. I went in like, I don't know if I'm going to like this.
I expected to turn this off. And actually, the first song is a little bit, it's a little bit of a bait and switch. Not really. It's set the vibe, but it's quite like, it's long and it's a bit like, I don't know what this is. But there's loads of other great things on it as well.
I also kind of feel like as a culture, we're ready to start admitting that Pink Floyd are good. Like, it was really cool for many, many years there to pretend that Pink Floyd weren't a good band. I still think they're cool.
Definitely a blind spot for me, I have to say.
Really? Oh, we can do an episode this year.
Okay.
Dre explains Pink Floyd. I grew up with Pink Floyd. My dad, my dad's not a big music guy, but he just loves Pink Floyd. So that was like a big part of my music education as a child was Pink Floyd. So
it was probably one of those like, oh, well, this band are just so ubiquitous, I don't want to know about it. You know,
yeah,
it was that
yeah.
kind of young snobbiness I probably had about it.
Yeah.
That I never really explored them at all. So yeah.
That's fair enough. Okay, my next pick will surprise absolutely no one. It's CMAT, it's May Day. It's a sexy song about climate change. In true CMAT fashion, just the character of CMAT that is in these songs and the way that she interprets different things in the world, the idea of while the world is ending, you should be spending time with me. It just is so enjoyable to me. Like, she just always manages to kind of keep that that sort of nearly like childlike petulance when it comes to kind of dealing with big topics. And you see that a lot throughout If My Wife Knew I'd Be Dead, the absolute like guaranteed 100% front runner for Irish Album of the Year, this year's choice. But yeah, Mayday, it was like a little surprise drop. We kind of didn't know it was going to come, and then it came out, and she has been touring, or had to take a little break from touring, because she said her larynx was in its flop era. So RIP/get well soon to CMAT's larynx. But yeah, she'll be touring at festivals and things during the year, which I'm sure you have to hand and I don't, because
Well, she's, in terms of Irish festivals, I know she's supporting Wet Leg in the UK sometime soon. And only Irish festival date is Other Side Festival this summer. Mm-hmm. For CMAT. But yeah, I'd say it's going to be a little bit quieter this year than it is than it was for her last year in general.
And hopefully that means work on a new album, because that would bring me a lot of joy.
CMAT.
May Day. She's an absolute chorus machine. She just cannot be stopped. She's unbelievable. What have you got next now?
Great. I have a song from Everything But the Girl, who came back after 24 years away and just sounded like they never really left. Here is Nothing Left to Lose. That was Everything But the Girl. That is Ben Watt and Tracy Thorne, who came back after 24 years away. They started recording together with no strict, like, oh, we're going to make an Everything But the Girl album or anything like that. But it soon became obvious to them that the chemistry and the spark between them was still there. Obviously, if you don't know who Everything But the Girl are, Missing is their big song from 1994, big kind of dance pop hit. But the band have been around since the 80s as well, mid 80s. And Tracy Thorne obviously did some work with Massive Attack after that. Always had a very identifiable vocal style, but also What I love about this as well is, like, it sounds like Everything But The Girl, but it also sounds a bit like Bicep, but they own that because they were doing it in a way beforehand. And also, if you wanted, before Romy from the XX started doing dance music, this is what you would imagine it would have sounded like, that kind of vibe. She's a very similar voice to Tracy Thorn as well. So I think this is great. And there's an album out called Fuse in April. So yeah, look forward to seeing that or hearing that and seeing what they do with it.
I would highly recommend Tracy Thorn's book, My Rock and Roll Friend.
Great. You can tell me about this maybe, because she has... It's brilliant. How many books has she got?
She's I've only read one, but she has, it's kind of, I think maybe one biography and a couple of memoirs. I'm not really sure. The only one I've read is My Rock and Roll Friend, which is about her friendship with Lindy Morrison of the Go-Betweens.
Okay. And it's specifically about that, right? Yeah.
It's so specifically about their friendship and also about the sexism that both of them experienced in the early days of their career and kind of beyond the early days of their career. And that topic is kind of, you know, written alongside a real celebration of female friendship and women making music together. And yeah, it's an absolutely brilliant memoir. Like, you'd absolutely fly through it. It's great. I reviewed it for the Business Post. If anyone's interested in reading my review, you'll find it somewhere online, I'm sure. Yeah. But it's great. And I keep meaning to read her other books because I think she's released one since then and just haven't gotten around to them. She's also an excellent writer.
Yeah. Four she's just memoirs, an all-rounder. Fair play.
Yeah, such a cool lady.
Great.
Cool. Speaking of cool ladies... Is that right? Yeah. Speaking of cool ladies, Boy Genius are back. The girlies, the girlos. I've chosen one of the three songs from, I suppose you can call it an EP. It's three songs from their upcoming album. This is Emily, I'm Sorry.
She's asleep in the backseat, looking peaceful enough to me, but she's waking up inside a dream full of screeching tires and fire. We're coming back from where no one lives, pretty much just veterans. When I pointed out where the North Star is, she called me a fucking liar.
So that's Emily, I'm Sorry, one of three songs that have been released from The Record, which is the upcoming album.
The record is
going to be out on the 31st of March. The other two songs are $20 and True Blue. Just an unbelievably talented trio of musicians. For anyone who isn't aware, it's Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers and Lucy Dacus, all three of whom have released like really, really, really excellent albums since the last time that they put out music together, which was in 2018 with a self-titled EP called Boy Genius. And since then, when I say we the girlies, we the gays, we the sad people have been just like out for blood. Like, where is the album? Are they getting back together? And they have. They did a Rolling Stone cover shoot where they recreated a Nirvana, like an iconic Nirvana cover shoot and story. And yeah, it's just so great to have them back. And it was a real surprise when I saw that they were finally returning, because the three of them have been so busy in the past.
Yeah, they were
2018, 5 years. So yeah.
Yeah. They were announced for Coachella nearly mm-hmm. January, so that was the tip off that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so they are back. So the album is out in
31st of March.
Yeah, that's right. Great. Yeah. Well remembered. Okay.
Thank you.
My next song is by way of an introduction to an artist that you may have heard about. I thought it'd be worth discussing a little bit. It's a rapper called Ice Spice, who I heard about late last year, but due to the onslaught of best of the year, never really got around to listening properly till this year, which was fine because there was an EP released a couple of weeks ago, which I really like. It's called Like, and so Ice Spice is a New York rapper, kind of very much doing her own thing. She's from the Bronx. She has an Orphan Annie kind of look to her. Often wears has ginger hair, 23-year-old. I had a song out last year called Munch, which really blew up. And then, of course, Drake, being Drake, invited her to OVO Fest, and where she, I think she performed, I think it was her first like proper performance. He since unfollowed her because Drake, because he probably he had an advance and was rejected, I'd say.
She probably turned 22.
Yeah. But no, I'm going to play a song. But this is Princess Diana from Ice Spice's EP, Like, gives you a good impression of her kind of vibe and flow. Cameras, and they hype that I'm up on them banners, calling my phone, but they know I don't answer. In the hood, I'm like Princess Diana. I'm thick cause I be eating oats. Bitch not taking shit from me but notes. Wanna be me so she do my emotes and my name in her mouth, so I bet she gon' choke. Tell her man I'm the girl of his dreams. Think about me when he brushing his teeth. He keeps texting, I leave him on scene. Hottest bitch out and they know what I mean. Like, keep it a stack. Bitches move on cause they know I got bands. They be chatting, I don't give a damn, and I'm still getting money, I know who I am. Tryna be low, he gon' hit on my gram. If he smart, he gon' act like a fan. If you bigger, they got your head gas. Bitches slow, so I give him a pass. Like, keep it a stack. Bitches move on cause they know I got bands. They be chatting, I don't give a damn, and I'm still getting money, I know who I am. Tryna be low, he gon' hit on my gram. If he smart, he gon' act like a fan. Think you bigger, they got your head gas. Bitches slow, so I give him a pass. Looking at me like who bigger than she. I'm the one who they wishing to be. Taking my time cause I don't wanna be. If you making a plate, then I already ate. Yeah, that's Ice Spice. A lot of fun. I listened to that a lot when it came out, like in the last 2 weeks. And I
think the late Princess of Wales would have loved that.
I think so. Mm. It's what she would have wanted.
It's what she would have wanted.
Yeah. Okay. You picked a surprising track for me now.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, tell me more. I did see that this was released, but I don't know if I don't remember listening to it.
Yeah. So I this would have completely passed me by if I wasn't reviewing it for Arena earlier in the month or last month in January. It's from Dave Rowntree, drummer of Blur fame, who are obviously touring or playing some gigs this summer. He has released his debut solo record. It's called Radio Songs. The concept is loosely kind of based around, so his dad was like an RAF radio person. I couldn't remember the term on Arena either, and I just said radio guy on Arena.
He was a real radio guy.
Like a technician. No. Right. Like he fixed RAF radios, but also had an interest in kind of, you know, fixing up FM radios or whatever. And it's an album that kind of loosely explores that concept and a bit of with relationships and things like that. I've chosen a song called Downtown, which to me has a little bit of like Blue Nile, a little bit. It's a bit, what's the word? Like it makes me think of something kind of emotional, yet also a bit like a film noir or something. It's a really lovely song. This is Downtown by Dave Rowntree.
There's no need to be here. There's nothing to say. Move on. Downtown, winter chill, I see winds around Bitterville and frozen.
So the Blur drummer is better than the Radiohead drummer, is what you're saying there. His solo, well, his solo output.
At this particular topic, I think, yes. There's also, actually, I didn't include this in the playlist, but you might, I think there's a song you might be interested in. It's called Tape Measure. And it uses, I don't know if it's an interpolation or a sample, but there's a female vocalist in it. And it's a kind of a Bollywood melody.
Okay.
It's like, I really didn't expect it at all in the album. And at first I wasn't quite sure. And now I think I actually really love it. So yeah, I'll okay. listen to that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll do that right now. Well, that was unexpected.
I know. I had the same experience when I was listening to the album. I was like, who's this like FKA Twigs lady coming in here?
Yeah.
And then it has the little breakdown. And I'm like, I don't know about this. But then the more I listened to it, I was like, I think this is brilliant. Like, I think it's really, it's really playful odd. And yeah, really interesting.
Very
well
good.
Done,
I wonder,
Dave.
Who, do you know, did you find out who the artist was?
Oh, do you know, I did. And then it was really hard to find on the day of the release. And then I found her afterwards. But no, I can't remember her name. It's a one word name. But beautiful voice. Okay. And yeah, Dave is just so lovely. Like he's on the day that the album was released, he was just like sharing these reviews from like big publications or even just from like little blogs and just being like, thanks so much for the lovely review. And he just seems really sweet, to be honest. And yeah.
Nice.
I just think he's lovely. Oh, yeah, it's
very good.
It's nice that he's getting a bit of a moment, you know, because they've all in kind of various ways had their kind of moment in the spotlight, and he's always, you know, back there behind the drums. So, yeah, I think he's done a really good job with this album. I'd recommend people listen to it.
Cool. We're gonna go out on a old thing that I've been listening to because that's what I've started doing recently. And before I play a song from Selected Ambient Works. I want to say, I think there's a lot of stuff coming up in February, including new albums from, I think Young Fathers is out soon as well. Kalayla's out.
Friday, I think.
Is this a Friday? This Friday. Holy moly. Next week. It's the following week. Young Fathers is out this week. Sorry. Young Fathers out this week.
Yes, that's what I
meant. Friday. And then Kalayla the next week. And then what have you got? There's a good few other things. Is Caroline Polachek out soon? I believe it is. If it's not, maybe it's March. Gorillaz have a new album as well. There's lots of things that are coming out. Oh, Philip Selway has a new album as well. Let's see if he has any Bollywood on it. Loads to come anyway. As a way of kind of finishing up our return,
I wanted
to play a track. Yeah, I want to play a track from Selected Ambient Works 85 to 92, a classic debut album from the Aphex Twin. Went to see Byron Wallen at the National Concert Hall, as I mentioned, last Sunday, which was why I wasn't at the 1975. They were supported by Glasshouse Ensemble, who did their three suites of Aphex Twin material, which is all on Spotify as well, their recordings of it. But I actually had been listening a lot to this recently anyway. And I got some new speakers and the bass sounds really good from this, even though it says in the Wikipedia for this album that apparently, so, you know, if you've never listened to Selected Ambient Works, it's kind of ambient techno. It's not really pure ambience. That's Selected Ambient Works Volume 2. But apparently 1985 is when he started making these songs when he was 13 or 14, which is just crazy if it's true.
Yeah.
But I doubt it's true. And it's one of those, like, the man, the myth, the Aphex Twin, whatever. It also says the recording's sound quality has been described as poor due to being recorded onto a cassette damaged by a cat. So maybe, maybe not. But look, there's pretty good sounding master out there. So yeah, we'll play out with a little bit of a song from it.
Isn't this a mad thing that Aphex Twin was nominated for the Choice Music Prize at some stage in the past?
No. I don't think it was nominated. I think it was on the long list.
Is that eligible?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it would have been Drux, was it? I don't think it was nominated.
I can't remember.
No, Drux
I had a conversation with someone about this recently, and I was like, "What? Really?" But yeah, there you go.
Oh no, yeah, it was. It was 2015. Yeah, sorry. It was Syro, the album Syro in 2015. So, very, I mean, we do claim him. Yeah, we do claim him, but I mean, do we? I mean, he is
the Martin
Irish.
McDonough of music.
It's tenuous, isn't it? It's tenuous.
But
let's play a bit of the Aphex Twin and then we come back and just we'll round it off with some of the things we've watched or seen recently.
Yeah.
Here's a bit of Actium. Actium, the closing track from Aphex Twin Selected Ambient Works. Was there any notable Irish releases from this month or January? Oh, The Murder Capital went to number one, apparently. So that's great for them. I actually liked the album a lot more than I thought I would. Well, no, it's always good, isn't it? Nice thing to be able to say. You went to number one. Legitimized you in the eyes of your relatives, usually. I like the album a lot, actually. A lot more than I thought I would, because what I didn't mind the first album, I thought we're kind of going to get more of the same. But I think there's some great songs on that one. I think musically, especially, I really like The Stars Will Leave the Stage from Gigi's Recovery and A Thousand Lives as well, those two songs. But album's been doing very well. Band have been doing very well. Playing Vicar Street as well in February as well. So there you go. And then if you want any more Irish music that we didn't include here, of course, there's loads of it on 909.com. Loads of it. I had to stop myself at 12 today.
For the Irish music
No, I can't move. There was 12 songs. I had 35 songs on a spreadsheet and I had to stop myself at 12. I was like, how am I going to whittle these all down? Very hard. Anyway, is there anything you've been watching or reading or listening to that we haven't discussed as yet?
Yeah. I mean, watching wise, I started The Last of Us.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Really enjoying it.
I've only seen the first two episodes, so I haven't seen the episode three that everyone was, I don't know, crying or happy. I don't know. People seem to be having a lot of emotions about episode three, so no spoilers. But yeah, I'm going to watch that tonight. I only started the other two last night, and I really like it. I've never played the game before.
I don't think it really matters.
I don't think you need to. Yeah, my boyfriend's played the game, and he's enjoying it as well. So
yeah, I think what I think is really good. It's so the guy who's the writer is Craig Mazin, who did Chernobyl. When he did that on HBO, he had a companion podcast and they're doing the same thing with the writer of the game, Neil Druckmann, and Craig Mazin, who is the screenwriter for this. and well worth, and it's actually the host is one of the voice actors from the game. So it's just really good because it's like, it talks about that if you are familiar with the differences, it talks about what they've made different, but I don't think you really need to know. But it also talks about the difference between, you know, using the same story for a game and using the same story for TV and how you can best utilize that. I found it really interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to the third episode of that podcast, actually about the big episode that everyone was talking about this week. So it's great.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. I think there's a lot of like Children of Men in it, and that's a film that I love and I think is a masterpiece, but you know, we'll never watch again, so it's nice to have a just can't. I the first and only time I watched Children of Men, I had to stop halfway through because I had a panic attack, and then had to just take it up again later, so I will never watch that movie again, but it's amazing. But yeah, there is a lot of that in this, and Chernobyl as well, and but so really enjoying that.
Craig Mazin, specialist writer about, dangerous situations and spores and, you know, things that damage your nervous system and whatever else.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I went to see, did I tell you about Jean Dielman? About the site, so you know the Sight and Sound list? The film list that's voted on by directors and so on, and it's released every 10 years and it's like the 100 best films of the year, so the number one film, or not of the year, of all time rather, so the number one film of all time was voted for this year, or for this like round of it, Belgian film called Jean Dielman. It's a feminist film that is about 3.5 hours long, and it follows 3 days of a woman doing her kind of domestic duties at home, doing housework and cooking for her son. It's impossible to find anywhere online, legally or otherwise. So the IFI did a screening of it, I think in early January, or it might have been like late December. I think early January. So I went along to that, and the film is just, it's like nothing else I've ever watched. It's like the mundanity and the repetition and the kind of the slowness, the pace of the film is so interesting and like oddly engaging. But it's like, I can't really describe too much about it without giving things away. But if anyone can get their hands on a decent copy of it with subtitles online, like, or if you're in the UK, I think you can watch it on the BFI player maybe, or like a Criterion thing. But yeah, I don't know how people get around those stuff, but like, would highly recommend watching it. I will say, I think if I watched it at home, it would have been a different experience, because like it can feel very boring initially. Like, so if you are going to watch it, like really, really dedicate your time and attention to it. Saw that. Also saw, what else did I see? I was chatting about some films in the Discord, like Holy Motors. I watched that for the first time, which I think I said in the Discord that I think I hated it, but I also think it's a masterpiece. So it's kind of one of those. I went to see Beau Travail, which has been screened in the IFI, which is just incredible, amazing experience. I've watched Banshees, which I know you and I differ on, so maybe we'll park that, but I watched
I think that was Friday when we were having that discussion, and I just didn't have the energy to go back and
that's fair,
go and talk about it.
That's fine. Look,
it's okay, we don't have to have a big dialogue about it. Like,
no, that's the thing, it's like, that's what this time of year is like, in the run-up to the Oscars, people just like publishing kind of stuff about like, this is bad because, or this is good, you know. Anyway, I loved Banshees of Inisherin. And watching wise, The Great Pottery Throwdown.
Okay,
that's nice. It yeah. And then reading, I can't really remember what I've been reading. I've been reading a book called Perpetual Come Down. I don't have the book to hand, but really interesting so far. I'm reviewing it. It's a Irish author. Very interesting so far. No, maybe not Irish author. ignore everything I just said about Professional Come Down, but I recommend it so far. I really like it so far. Yeah.
I just finished the book you recommended to me, The Colony.
What did you think?
Yeah, great. Thanks so much.
That ending, right?
Yeah, it's great. Ooh. It's great. It's really good. It's just such a, it feels like such a classic read or something. It's like, in the way that we're talking about, like, you know, taking from the greats or calling back to the greats, it has that kind of vibe for me.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Great book.
You're welcome. I'll think of what your next read should be. Because I think I'm 3 for 3 on recommendations to you. So this is good.
You're my trusted source on books now.
Excellent. I'll start my book talk imminently.
Very good. Very good. Other than that, I've been watching. Do we talk about After Sun? That was the film of the year last year.
No, we
year.
Haven't, but let's talk about it.
Amazing. It's on Mubi. Just go and watch it. Paul Mescal is brilliant in it. And the kid, whose name I can't remember, is also brilliant. A wonderful film about memory and family and parentage. So lovely.
Yeah.
And the other film that I'm surprised, like, didn't really, now that I think about it, after seeing it, Nope, the Jordan Peele film. I thought it was absolutely wonderful.
I loved Nope.
Yeah. Great.
I loved
it. Good to hear. Because it seemed to divide people, and I'm not really 100% sure why. I think it's because people were expecting a horror film as opposed to what you actually guess. Spoiler. It's
the reason
not
why
a
it
straight
divides
up horror
people
film.
Is because where we see this stuff happening is bloody Twitter. And you can't have an opinion on something unless it's like divisive these days. You know, sometimes things are just good. You know?
Yeah. I think
or mediocre or bad or whatever. It doesn't have to mean anything.
Just do it. Just go and watch it. That's all I'm
just
saying.
Just watch it. It's really amazing. Did you see it in the cinema? No. Did you watch it at home?
No, I completely missed it, like, in the cinema.
Oh, right.
Completely missed it. So, I stayed away because, like, all I saw was negativity about it. And I was like, it's supposed to be not very good. And then I watched it at home one night and I was like, it's brilliant. And then I made Katie, my partner, watch it the next night because I was like, you have to see this, it's so good. Yeah. And she was like, it's brilliant too.
It's amazing.
Like, yes.
That first moment when he's out in the barn and he thinks he sees the alien and he just goes, nope.
Oh, like, so good. Yeah.
That in the cinema, because it was like really tense up until that moment. And it was just this release of like everybody laughing at it. It was great. I loved Nope. And I think that my cat is like physically attacking me. Stop. the whole like being put off a film because of the discourse around it is really an issue these days, I think. And I remember writing about it like maybe last January about Don't Look Up, because the discourse around that was just like nightmarish, like just awful. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, this film is completely fine. Like, there's no it's grand. It's not a masterpiece. It's not a trash fire. It's just grand. I think that sort of, you know, stepping away from the discourse, especially films, especially this time of the year when it's like Oscar season, is a good idea. Generally good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope On Colleen Kuhn does well in the Oscars because it deserves to.
Me too.
A great film if you've not
Colin
seen that
Farrell
as well. And Colin. And Colin himself. Great.
And Colin
all right,
and
well, that's it.
And all the lads. Yeah.
All the lads. Well, that's it from us for this episode. We are back next week with a regular episode. So episode 198. Nearly at 200. So let's we'll
if
talk
anyone
to you next
has
week,
any ideas of how we should celebrate episode 200, let us know, because
we
don't
have
any
ideas.
Oh, do
we have some ideas?
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. We've discussed it kind of, right?
Have we? Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Somewhat. Let's be vague and interesting at the end. Okay. Well, we might be doing something special next week.
That's
the plan. I don't know. I know we haven't done the podcast for a while, Andrea, but like, just pretend.
Okay,
just
big things coming, guys.
Big things coming.
Watch this space.
Super excited to announce that Andrea Cleary is going to be on the podcast next week. Okay.
Okay,
bye.
Everyone. Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.